Christ has risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
You may be seated. So there was this conversation between a mom and her four-year-old daughter, Alina, that went something like this. Mommy, will the Easter Bunny bring me purple jelly beans? Yes, I'm sure he will bring you jelly beans, Alina. But remember, Easter isn't about the bunny, it's about Jesus. But Mommy, will they be purple? Yes, honey, I'm sure there will be some purple ones in there. But honey, the important thing about Easter isn't a bunny. Easter is about how much Jesus loves you and me and the whole world. Mommy, Mommy, how many purple jelly beans will the Easter bunny bring me? Alina, I think he will bring you plenty of purple jelly beans. But do you know how much Jesus loves you? Mommy. Yes, Alina. Will he bring me Tootsie Rolls too? You see, sometimes for a four-year-old, Easter bunnies and purple jelly beans and Tootsie Rolls are just way more interesting than Jesus. And they're enough to make Easter fun. And fun for a four-year-old is enough. And although Easter hasn't gotten to the point of having as many consumer and cultural distractions as Christmas, sometimes that's the same way for many of us adults. With the Easter lilies and the new clothes, with family visits and Easter dinner preparations, with a chance to get away for a family vacation, not to mention the beginning of baseball and the end of March Madness, all of these things consume our attention more than Jesus does. However, showing up for worship on Easter Sunday, for some of us, it's just part of the gig. And we come to expect just a little bit more than candy-coated cliches. My guess is that unless you're four, you're looking for something beyond the candy-coated cliches added to the assortment of jelly beans we consume. I believe that's why so many of us come to worship on this day. We want to know something of what Mom was trying to get across to Alina. And because Mom knows that Alina won't always be four, sooner or later, Alina and all of God's children, indeed, all of us, will encounter the dark night of heart-wrenching grief, devastating disappointment, or smothering guilt. And when we do, we will need more than bunnies and jelly beans. We will need Jesus. And I wonder when that need will hit for Alina. Will it be when she's bullied at school and feels like there's no one to turn to? Or will it be when she's betrayed by a so-called best friend or has her heart broken by the person around whom she's built her whole life? Or perhaps one day she'll look in the mirror and admit to herself that she has been the bully or the betrayer or the heartbreaker. And knowing that she can never undo the damage that she's done, it will make it hard for her to keep looking at that face that's staring back at her in the mirror. Or maybe she'll be on a mission trip and she'll meet people who own none of the things that make her happy. And yet they possess a joy that she has never known. And she'll feel the emptiness of a dark soul. Or maybe she'll be waiting at the funeral home, being comforted by the loss of a loved one. Or will it be the day when her life's work ends with a memo and a deadline for clearing out her office? Maybe it'll be the day when she's told by her doctor that it's not just a cold after all. Or maybe she'll be spoon-feeding the frail. Beloved mommy, who once fed her and whose strong body once gave her piggyback rides, and the sense of powerlessness will overtake her. Realistically, that might have been exactly how Mary Magdalene felt that first Easter morning. Contrary to what Mark says, the other two Gospels say that it was dark outside. Violence and fear hung like a dark cloud over her once adventurous life of following and learning from this meek but authoritative teacher around whom she had reoriented all of her days. The light that had once shone on her had been extinguished by a Roman cross. And not only was it dark in the world that morning, but it was dark in her soul, where there had once been a glimmer of hope. There was only despair now. And so while it was dark, she came to the tomb. And there in the darkness of her life, she was surprised by the light of Easter. And her story has become the Christmas message. It is the story we remember, and it is the story that we celebrate together today in worship. It is the single most important reason we get together any Sunday of the year or any day of the week. It is the heartbeat of the Christian community. It is the hope that we cling to and the promise upon which we stand. It is the very essence of the Christian faith, and it is so much more than a cliche. So what is it all about? Well, on the final analysis, it's about life. It's about eternal life. Do you know that the scientists have studied the material and chemical composition of the human body? The U.S. Bureau of Chemistry and Soils has calculated the chemical and mineral composition of the human body, which breaks down to what follows. We are 65% oxygen, 18% carbon, 10% hydrogen, 3% nitrogen, 1.5% calcium, and 1% phosphorus. And there is less than 1% of potassium, sulfur, sodium, chlorine, magnesium, iron, and iodine. And there are trace elements of fluorine, silicon, manganese, zinc, copper, aluminum, and even arsenic. And if we took all of those parts together and sold them on the common market, they would be less than a dollar. As it turns out, our skin is the most valuable physical asset that we have. It's worth about $3.50. So you add that all up, and you're worth a total of less than $5. But take a moment and put your hand on your wrist. Go ahead. I know you're Lutheran, but put your hand on your wrist. And let's be quiet and still for a moment. What do you feel? You feel your pulse. You feel the mystery of biological life beating through your $5 worth of chemicals and minerals. And do you understand how that works? Do you understand how $5 worth of chemicals and minerals adds up to you or the person sitting next to you? Easter is about the power of life. It is the power that makes the $5 worth of elements priceless. Easter is the power that gave you that pulse, calling you by name and promising you that long after that pulse stops beating, that power will go on. It's called eternal life. But it doesn't start after your pulse stops. Easter assures us that eternal, abundant life, what the Bible in the Greek calls Zoe, not only goes on forever, but is available to us here and now. And that's what the resurrection is all about. Because we all know about having a pulse does not guarantee a full life. We can have bios or biological life and not have Zoe or the energy of God. One can have a heartbeat but have no heart for living. We can have an existence but no energy. So you see, we all know that we're worth more than $5. We know that we are worth far more than the sum of our biological parts. But that more is what Easter is all about. Easter addresses the universal human longing to tap into that more. You might call it meaning, you might call it peace, you might call it purpose. St. Augustine called it longing for God, the restlessness that only finds rest in God. And Paul Tillich called it the ground or the power of being itself. And Kierkegaard called it the leap of faith that quells anxiety. And all of us are seeking it in one way or another. We want to know the more. We want to know God. Easter is the Christian answer for that longing. It's knowing that death is not the end and a pulse alone is not living. And if you're not exactly sure what that means, if you feel in the dark about that, then you're in good company. Because you see, Mary came to the tomb thinking that death was the end for Jesus. She goes in the dark, presumably to prepare Jesus' $5 worth of materials and chemicals for burial. And she is resigned to the finality of death. She's grieving. At first, she doesn't even recognize the new life that's standing right there in front of her. But when the risen Christ speaks her name, oh, then she knows. And maybe you can relate to Mary. Maybe on this Easter Sunday, April 1st, 2018, you're resigned to the futility of life and the awful pain of death, the finality of death. Perhaps the death of a beloved friend or family member. Perhaps it's the death that pervades our culture, tragic deaths that come as a result of war or terrorism or random violence, perhaps the death of a life-sustaining relationship or business. Maybe even one or more of these things has convinced you that not much makes sense anymore in this life. And although you're breathing, although your heart is beating, it's also breaking. Because there's just so much loss. There's so much sorrow in your life that you showed up here today not looking for life, but expecting to find more of the same. Easter bunnies and jelly beans. Some candy-coated cliches that don't really touch the questions of your life or bring comfort to your deep grief. There's something about the gospel narrative that is really, really great. The one who come to the tomb, they don't see Jesus. They don't get any proof. And as we see in our text for today, they just go back home. And they continue to hang out together until later that night when Jesus appears to them in the middle of the darkness of night. And when Jesus appears to the disciples, what he does first is show them his scars. He tells them, "Touch my wounds." He says, "See here, here is the evidence of the lowest part of my life. It is the time in my life when I was defeated, when I was overcome, when I was beaten down, and when I myself was questioning, why would God forsake me?" This is what his scars point to. Not his triumph, but his tragedy. Not his victory, but a time when he was vilified, a time of pain and struggle. And so listen very clearly. Easter is not a promise that your business or your family or your church or the world will prosper, or that all of your problems will go away, or even that your pulse will go on beating forever. But it is the promise that that power that gave you that pulse will never abandon you. The power, our loving God, who raised Jesus from the dead, will raise you from despair. And that same power is calling you by name. And it is still at work in you, doing a new thing in you and in the church and in the world. Easter is the promise that nothing in your past, present, or future has the ultimate power to define you. You are defined by Zoe, the energy, the light of God that flows through you and that flows through all creation, making all things new. Put your hand on your pulse again. Just as surely as blood is pulsing through your veins, right now, the Zoe of Christ, the life of Christ that cannot die, is pulsing through creation, and making all things new. We are called by name to receive that new life and share it with the world. And that, my friends, is better news than bunnies and jelly beans. It is the reason for all of our alleluias. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen.